Chapter 16. The drive from Pembroke back to Wumkono was a total blank to Patrick Fox. His hands turned the wheel and his feet worked the pedals in stiff mechanical movements. His eyes were unblinking and glazed as he assaulted the steep grades and, on blind instinct, hurled the four-wheel drive around the hairpin curves. He had been in a small chemist's shop, buying Jenny's bath oil, when a sergeant from the Pembroke Constabulary tracked him down and stammered out a sketchy outline of the tragedy. At first, Fox refused to believe it. Only after he reached Sean Francis, the Irish-born constable of Wumkono, over the bushmaster's mobile radio, did he come to accept the worst.
"You'd better come home, Patrick," Francis's strained voice crackled over the speaker.
The constable spared Fox the details, and Fox did not demand them. The sun was still high when Fox came within sight of his farm. Little remained of the house. Only the fireplace and a section of the veranda still stood. The rest was no more than a pile of cinders. Across the yard, rubber tires on the tractors smoldered on their steel rims and emitted thick black smoke. The farm workers still lay where they'd fallen in the compound. Vultures were picking at the carcasses of his prize cattle. Sean Francis and several Defense Force soldiers were huddled around three forms lying under blankets when Fox braked to a stop in the yard. Francis came over to him as he leapt out of the mud-streaked bushmaster. The constable's face was pale granite.
"God in hell!" cried Fox.
He gazed into Francis's eyes, searching for a small ray of light.
"My family! What of my family?"
Francis fought to get the words out, then gave up and dipped his head in the direction of the blanket-covered bodies. Fox pushed past him and stumbled across the yard, but was caught short by the stout arms of the constable, which suddenly encircled him about the chest.
"Leave them be, Patrick. I've already identified them." "Damn it, Sean, that's my family lying there." "I beg you, my friend, not to look. Let me go. I must see for myself."
"No," said Francis, grimly hanging on, knowing he was no match for Fox's massive strength.
"Myrna and Jenny were badly burned in the fire. They're gone, Patrick. The loved ones you knew are no more. Remember them alive, not as they are in death."
Francis could feel the tenseness slowly drain from Fox's muscles, and the constable loosened his hold.
"How did it happen?" asked Fox quietly. "No way of describing in detail. All your workers have either been driven off or killed. There are no wounded to tell the tale."
"Somebody must know, must have seen."
"We'll find a witness. One will turn up by morning, I promise."
The grim conversation halted while a helicopter whirled to the ground and the soldiers tenderly lifted the bodies of Myrna, Jenny, and Patrick Jr. inside the cargo cabin and strapped them down. Fox made no move to go to them. He only stood there and watched with great sadness in his eyes as the helicopter lifted off and headed toward the mortuary in Wumkono.
"Who is responsible?" Fox said to Francis. "Tell me who murdered my wife and children and my workers and burned my farm."
"One or two CK-88 plastic cartridges, the charred remains of an arm inside the house with a Chinese watch on the wrist, prints in the dirt from military-soled boots. Circumstantial as it is, the evidence points to the AAR.
"What do you mean, one or two cartridges?" Fox snapped. "The bloody bastard should have left a whole mountain of them."
Francis made a helpless gesture with his hands.
"Typical of an AAR raid. They always police the area right after an attack. Makes it tough to tag them with any hard evidence. They plead innocent to any international investigation of terrorism while pointing a hypocritical finger at the other liberation organizations. If it hadn't been for our Alsatian dogs, we never would have uncovered the spent shells or perhaps even the arm. The raiders' tracks come and go from the bush through the cane fields and up to the house. I figure they shot down the guards during a shift change while the gate was open, breaking the electrical charge. Pat Jr. was killed over by that burnt-out tractor. Myrna and Jenny were lying a few feet apart in the parlor. All had been mercifully shot. Patrick, for what little comfort it's worth, there was no indication of rape or mutilation." Constable Francis paused to take a drink from a canteen. He offered it to Fox, who simply shook his head. "Take a swig, Patrick. It's whiskey." Fox refused again. My office received a distress message over the radio from Jenny. She said that Pat had been shot and that men in bush fatigues were attacking the farm. She and Myrna must have put up one hell of a fight. We found 4 separate bloodstains in the yard behind the house. And you can see for yourself that what's left of the veranda floor is filled with bloody trails. Jenny's last words were, "Good Lord, they're shooting the children in the compound." We assembled our forces and came on as quickly as the whirlybirds could get us here. 13 minutes was all it took. By then everything was ablaze and the raiders had vanished. 2 platoons and a helicopter are tracking them through the bush now. "My people," murmured Fox, pointing at the still figures sprawled around the compound. "We can't leave them lying here for the vultures." "Your neighbor Brian Vogel is coming with his workers to bury them. They should be here any time. Until then, my men will keep the scavengers away." Fox was like a man wandering lost in a dream as he walked up the steps to the veranda. He could not yet grasp the immensity of the tragedy. He still half expected to see his 3 loved ones standing framed by the bougainvillea, and his mind very nearly formed a picture of them as they were, waving happily to him when he left for Pembroke. The veranda was painted in gore. Puddled streaks traveled from the smoking embers down the steps to the yard, where they abruptly ended. It looked to Fox as if 3 or maybe 4 bodies had been dragged from the house before it was torched. The blood had coagulated and turned crusty under the afternoon sun. Fat, iridescent flies hummed and waded about the trails in swarms. Fox leaned against the lattice and felt the first uncontrollable tremor of shock. The house he had built for his family was nothing but blackened, grotesque ruins, incongruously heaped in the middle of the trimmed lawn and the beds of gladiola and fire lilies that stood virtually unmarked. Even the memory of how it had looked was beginning to twist and distort. He sank down on the steps and covered his face with his hands. He was still sitting there half an hour later when Constable Francis came over and gently nudged him. "Come, Patrick, let me take you to my place. There is nothing to be gained by staying here." Francis led the unresisting Fox to the bushmaster and tenderly deposited him in the passenger's seat. As the vehicle passed through the gate, Fox stared straight ahead, did not look back. He knew he would never see or see him.